Blog Talk Radio.
I mean, the idiocy, I call it idiocy and stupidity. It just never lets the Native Americans are on the warpath again. They just need to go drink their fire water and calm down. First, you got to say, hey, Nathan Hendrickson, attorney at law in Muskogee, Oklahoma, proud sponsor of the Greg Squirrel Show. Just recently signed big 1 year sponsorship package with Nathan Hendrickson. So if you get put in the popo and you need help getting out and you're in Muskogee, Oklahoma, if you have crazy ex-wives, psycho girlfriends, psycho boyfriends, psycho lesbian lovers, it don't matter. Call Nathan Hendrickson. Got my buddy Clint Davis.
Hey, yo.
In the house.
Oh man. Nick.
We got
they're picking on Chief Wahoo, man. I can't deal with this.
So for some reason, they cut my show short by 30 minutes today. So we got 30 minutes to talk about what it is we're going to talk about. Two subjects on my mind today. And the evil empire has raised its ugly head again. And promoters threatening fighters that they are going to pull them out of their title matches for his promotion if they go fight for a rival promotion.
Do you want my opinion on that?
Speak your mind on this, my brother.
I'll tell you one thing. This is just a personal thought. I'm not speaking for XFI, but, being on the board with XFI, I got to say that if anybody is pulling this kind of stuff and they're telling fighters that they're going to take their titles from them or they're not going to let them fight because they're going somewhere else, those aren't people who support local MMA. When you're a promoter, your job is to, like, there's several fighters that I've talked to other people in other promotions up north about getting some of our guys to fight up there. That should be your main focus. You know, these fighters, they're not a number to us. They're a person. They're a fighter. This is their career. This is a path that they've traveled for a lot of years, and they need to go as far as they can. And if you're not trying to propel these fighters, you're in the wrong business. I don't understand what the big deal is here. Is it a jealousy thing? I mean, XFI, we put on a great show. We bring a lot of people to the table. 1,300-1,400 people show up and pack the convention center, and there's no reason why I should want anybody to not be able to go somewhere else and fight.
And that's what these promoters have got to realize, that, hey, these guys are independent. You know, it's not like these guys are pro fighters on contracts. These guys are independent promoters or independent fighters. So they're trying to fight whenever, wherever, whoever. You know,
well, that's why we sign contracts before every event. These people are not under contract to us unless it's the night of the event, and they know that, and we know that, and it's a mutual understanding. So to sit and act like, well, if there's one fighter, I can't look at a champion like Rodney Allison and say, Rodney, you're only an XFI fighter. You can't go somewhere else and fight. I know Rodney had set up to go to Memphis, V3, and fight up there. For one reason or another, it didn't happen. I don't know what those reasons are. I hear a lot of talk. I talk about the talk. That's kind of what my job is. But we should be supporting these guys when they go do this kind of stuff. I mean, they're trying to raise money. We should be helping them raise money. And, it's not that these guys spend more money on on themselves to be able to do this than they get paid in the long run. So I don't know, man. I just don't get it. I don't get why they're promoters. Who's doing this, by the way?
Our old friend, J.T. Chili.
Huh.
So, why does that not surprise you when I mention that name? And here's the story. Harley Huebner and Chris Huebner were scheduled to fight July 12th, Springfield, Missouri, for Adrenaline Fight League.
Right.
Harley Huebner is due for it's either a number one contender fight or the actual title fight itself against Show Fight champion. I forget what weight Harley and Chris fight in, but Harley is set up for a number one contender fight. It's either the number one contender fight or the actual title fight itself.
Hmm.
Against the reigning Show Fight champion, JT Chili's fight promotion, Branson, Missouri. But JT goes and tells them that if Harley and Chris fight on the Adrenaline Fight League card, and Show Fight's card, I don't believe is scheduled until August or September.
So yeah, they just had one.
So they got plenty of recovery time.
What are these guys' names? Harley and who? What?
Chris and Harley Huebner. I'm looking at the fight. I'm looking at my original fight list right here.
How do you spell that last name?
Huebner.
Harley Huebner, Miami High School. Let's see. We got two mutual friends. That would be Eric Stevens and Chris Gregory. So I'm assuming that that's the right guy.
Right.
I'm gonna go ahead and pop a friend request over to him, and then I'm gonna do the same thing. I'm guessing these two are brothers.
Yes, Harley and Chris are brothers.
We need to get these guys on. We need to get them on the show.
Yes, I agree. And they, like I said, they were scheduled to fight July 12th, outdoor event, Springfield, Missouri, Adrenaline Fight League. Well, JT pops up and says, "If you guys compete on this show, I'm pulling Harley out of his contender fight for Show Fight."
So he doesn't want them to go to Adrenaline Fight. He doesn't want them to go up north a little bit and fight anywhere, or he's gonna take their title fights or their number one contender spots away from them?
Correct.
Huh. Well, you know, that's not somebody that supports local MMA. JT Tilly. I mean, everybody that knows this show, they know we've had JT Tilly on the show before, and when that didn't go very swimmingly for him. But you know, and I asked him very directly, did you cheat on purpose? And he said yes. And for those who don't remember the situation, I'll give you a little refresher. We've got a fighter down here, Megan Goodwin. She'll go up there and beat the brakes off of whoever you got. And she goes up to fight. They picked her because she was like, what was she like, 3-0 on paper or something like that? Didn't look like she'd been doing this very long. And it just looked, looked, I don't want to say weak because she could probably kick my ass, but it looked weak. Her record looked weak on paper, like, oh, she hadn't been doing this very long. So they kind of handpicked her to come up and fight this champion, Courtney Stowe, that she was their champion before. And then she decided one day, I don't want to do this anymore. And then when she decided she wanted to do it again, she wanted to come back and get her title back, is what she called it. So anyway, they get up there, and Megan and Courtney go after it. And Megan drummed this girl like a Cleveland Indians baseball game. And so it was ridiculous. They counted points off for Megan. She really didn't do anything wrong. They counted points off. Then the other girl pokes Megan, and she pulls a Ric Flair and pokes Megan in the eye. And they threatened to kick Megan's corner out. I mean, they didn't even say anything to the other fighter for poking her in the eye. They didn't take points. They didn't give a warning. They didn't do anything. And so I knew it was home cooking. And immediately after the event, I watched it on GFL.TV. Immediately after the event, I put it on Facebook. I said, I've never seen so much home cooking in my life. And it come to find out the referee was on JT Tilly's fight team. The girl fighting Megan Goodwin was on JT Tilly's fight team. And JT Tilly is the guy that runs the company. And he put a referee in that cage and a fighter. That's a conflict of interest, in my opinion. And Yeah, I wouldn't do that. You know, at XFI, we have partnerships with certain gyms or certain things that, you know, different fight teams do for us. But it's not like, hey, I'm a member of Championship MMA or I'm with Team Ronin or something like that. That's not how it is. We're all completely separate people. We have no specific interest in any one person that's going to be in that cage, except the fact that we want to promote them. That's our job. And and we asked him point blank, did you do this on purpose? Did you want her to win? Did you, you know, throw your own fight team in there for a reason? And he admitted to it. And you never get a referee that's on the same fight team as somebody that's fighting for a title. That's home cooking at its finest. I don't care what anybody says. You can try to justify it all you want. It's not working for me. And he admitted to cheating. That's just how he is. I have more time on him than I have to. But, you know, these guys, Chris and Harley Huebner, if they're listening to this, if they accept my friend request, I'm going to put this show on their page later on. But if you guys are up there and you're listening to this, I would get as far away from JT Tilly as I possibly can. And I don't even personally know the guy. All I know is what kind of business he does, and it's not legit, and it's not kosher, and it's not anything I would want to have hanging over my head with XFI. If you guys, Chris and Harley Huebner, if you guys want to fight for a promotion and you want to see a shit ton of people in the audience, you need to come down and fight for XFI. I'll pull whatever strings I need to do to get you guys down here in Fort Smith. I don't know if you can drive that far. If you can, let's talk business. I'm a promoter. I want to promote these guys. I want to talk about these guys. I want to get their name out in the public. And for them to be treated like this is completely ridiculous. You can't go fight somewhere else, or we're going to take your title away from you, or your title fight. I mean, I'm upset. I don't get it.
Okay. Well, Clint, it's funny you mentioned that. We got a 417 number calling in.
Oh,
boy. You know how these 417 numbers are. They can be crapshoots. We're going to answer this 417 number, see who we got on the phone line right here on the Greg Squirrel Show. Who we talked to? 417 area code.
You got Eric Stevens on the phone.
Hey.
Eric Stevens. Hey, we were just talking about the situation with Chris and Harley, about the situation they're running into with JT Tilly and his little promotion over there in Branson. According to people I've talked to, their last event, they had 70 people in the crowd. So I want to get your side of this. I mean, he's told Harley Huebner that if they fight July 12th in Springfield, that he's pulling them out of their contender fight for show fight.
Well, I talked to Chris yesterday, and, you know, I don't know. It's one of these things that, you know, I don't to throw things around that I don't have solid proof of, you know. And what I've got basically, you know, from Chris is, hey, well, we have a family reunion. But then we talked and we talked and we talked, and he started opening up a little bit. And, you know, without directly saying so, yeah, you know, JT's putting pressure on those guys not to fight on our card down here. And it's just ridiculous. Man, I've got guys that fight at show fight, and they fight at my show. I've got a couple of them on my July 12th fight card. And despite all the history between, you know, JT's promotion and mine and all the differences and stuff, if there's a fighter out there listening to this or that hears it that can say, I ever told them not to fight somewhere, let me know, because it's ridiculous. You don't do that to fighters. They're amateur. They're not on contract with anybody. I don't own any fighter that fights for me. If I was running a pro promotion and I had a fighter on contract, that's different. But these kids that are fighting amateurs, if they want to fight every weekend, you know, that's what they're out there for, to gain experience and to go out and test themselves and test their training. And a lot of them are out to just have a good time and have fun. And I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me why promoters feel like they need to try and manipulate or control fighters. Let them fight where they want to fight. You know, we fought prior to Adrenaline Fight League and Uncivil War, on every fight card in Springfield, we fought on, you know, in Branson, we fought up at the Lake of the Ozarks. We'd like to fight on other people's shows, and we like our guys to do the same. We've offered to fight at Blackout Fighting Championships, wherever. It doesn't matter. I don't understand what someone thinks they're going to gain or benefit from trying to control and manipulate fighters. It's ridiculous. It's unnecessary. Just don't need to do it.
And it's, you know, and it's like I said, to just emphasize and follow and give support to what you said, these guys are amateurs. They're out to fight whenever, wherever, whoever, you know, and to sit there and tell them, well, no, you can't go fight. I'd immediately tell that promoter, well, you know, you can go F yourself. I'm going to go fight for this guy because that's what I'm here to do. I want to get to that next level, and the only way I'm going to get to that next level is if I fight the best competition, whether it's show fight, whether it's Adrenaline Fight League, whether it's Blackout, whether it's XFI, Tribal, whoever, you know, I'm trying to advance my career, and I'm not going to let you hold me down.
I'm not friends with JT Tilley on Facebook, but if he'd happen to hear this, you know, my message to JT is simple. Just shut up and run your show, dude, and quit trying to manipulate people and quit trying to control people and just run your show. Nobody cares about all the drama and all the bullshit. Fighters want to fight, so put on a fight card and sign up the guys who want to fight and let them fight and give them fair fights. Simple, simple. That's all I've done for 3 years now. Greg, you were at my last show. We had hundreds and hundreds of people there. This next fight card coming up, I've got 25 fights booked, you know, knowing some of them will back out and, you know, hopefully we'll land at a lower number than that. But I've got plenty of guys willing to fight for me because I treat them fair. And I don't know why every other fighter promoter doesn't just follow that formula. Be fair. It's simple. Give guys fair fights. They want to fight, let them fight. And don't throw your own fighters from your own fight team in for title fights against people with losing records. You know, and I busted JT out a year ago in August, put out a huge article, and referenced all the times. There was over 10 instances where he gave title fights to his own fight team against people with losing records, and he stopped doing it for a little while, but he's back at it again. He just did it on March 15th. It was Katie Collins. Threw her a title fight with a girl named Catherine Farrow. I can't remember what her maiden name is, but the girl was like 0-7 or something. I don't, you know, or 1-7. I don't know what her actual record is, but it's just got a losing record and throwing them in and feeding people with losing records into fight people they're not qualified to fight for belts. Why? What's the point?
I think he's afraid. I'm going to jump out there, and I'm going to say that I think JT's afraid. I don't think he has enough confidence in his fighters that they can beat competition from other promotions.
I agree. We've publicly said it. You know, we're willing to bring, you know, he's got a 85er, pretty talented Marco Hutch, you know, and we've got a 85er Tyler Johnson. We'd love to see those two guys fight. We've offered to fight on a neutral fight card, you know, Blackout Fighting Championships or one of the other fight cards here in the area. Why not? Let's do it. You know, let's fight. We'll go fight on someone else's fight card. You know, we want to fight the best guys, but if you're only going to keep your guys on your own show and not let them fight anyplace else, and you're always going to control and put the odds in your favor, you're not proving anything.
Oh, exactly. You know, I'm not the brightest man when it comes to the world of MMA and managing fighters and stuff, but I've learned in the short time that I have been around it that the fighters that have to promote the coaches and teams that have faith in their fighters, they're going to let them go fight whenever, whoever, wherever, you know. And it just seems that it's so funny that you never hear of JT's guys fighting for other promotions. Once in a blue
moon.
Well,
that's why there's only 70 people that show up to an event. And I watched one fight at that event on GFL the other night, and there was there just wasn't anybody. You couldn't even hear people in the crowd. I mean, it was just fighters in a cage and that cage announcer with a tuxedo T-shirt on, and that was pretty much it.
But that's the end result. It's like that's the end result, though. I just don't understand. Stop with the bullshit and run it legit. Be fair. And run your fight promotion in a fair manner. And, you know, I understand, you know, because I'm in the same position. I fight most of my guys here in town in Springfield. Prior to my fight promotion, there was four or five others, and we fought on all of them. We like to fight at home, but there comes a point when you got a guy that's, you know, been on your promotion for so long, winning fights and has a great record, you got to, you know, be willing to put him out there. You know, we've got top fighter at our gym right now, Tyler Johnson, over at Team Fusion. You know, we'll take him anywhere. We'll fight him anywhere. We'd love, and we really want to fight Marco Hutch. But you know, it's the only way we can do that is to go fight him at show fight. We probably won't do that, you know, because we don't know that we're going to get a fair fight. Is it going to be ref by his own teammate? Who's going to be judging it? You know, members of their own fight team. You know, but we'll gladly fight him elsewhere. We offered, I think Chris Gregory from the matchmaker over at Blackout is trying to make it happen. I don't know, you know, but I don't know. I hate the drama. I think we should talk about some positive. The drama, it's never ending. It's never going to stop. It's always going to be there. Well, I just get tired of hearing from fighters telling me that, you know, they were told, you know, hey, don't fight on his show because whatever manufactured, fabricated reason. We run a good show. We run a fair, clean fight card, and there's no reason to discourage fighters from fighting on someone else's fight promotion. It's ridiculous.
Speaking of something positive, July, we got the big show coming back to Cartoons in Springfield. Out once again, another big outdoor event. And like you said, right now, looking at the schedule, we got about 25 fights. Got some good-looking title fights and contender fights. At the top of that card, you got Scarface Hansen and Tara Woodall. We got them set up to fight. Dean Bond, Dakota Cole, we got those guys set up to fight. And then you mentioned Tyler Johnson against Dalton Knight.
Well, that one might not happen. Dalton Knight is, I've just recently learned, is incarcerated at the moment, and he doesn't have another court date until July 14th, the Monday after the fights, and I don't know if he's going to make bond or not or whatever, but so we're a little disappointed about that. We have a really hard time finding fights for Tyler, and I don't want to throw someone with a losing record in there, you know, for a title fight against Tyler. I want it to be a worthy opponent, not just some guy that volunteered to take a beating for a chance at a belt, you know. If I can't find him an opponent for this show, we're hoping to put him on a different fight card someplace else and get him out there. He's got two more amateur fights, and then we're looking at taking him pro. But just as a rule of thumb, we like to see our guys have 10 wins as an amateur before they turn pro. It's aside from that fight, if that one doesn't happen, there's, I think, currently 5 title fights on the card, and then a whole bunch of really good undercard fights as well.
I always get excited about going to Springfield because I always know that we are going to see some hard-hitting action. Amos McElroy and Eugene Kendall, they did outstanding jobs on the last show, kind of been having some problems finding fights for these guys. Where do they stand right now?
Amos was supposed to fight Chris Huebner, and as we were talking about, the Huebners both pulled out. So Amos is currently without an opponent, and Eugene Campbell, same situation. But somebody will come up to fight both of those guys, I'm sure. You know, I just want to get them fair fights. So, you know, there's a couple other people on the card I could have put them with, but I want to make sure that they're, you know, Eugene fought a tough opponent in his last fight. You know, I'd like to see Eugene. He was a real crowd pleaser. People really liked his attitude and his performance. And so I'm waiting for the right opponent to come along for him. I've also got a guy named Brian Hill that's 155, that's 9-2. Tough to find fight. There's one other title fight on that card worth talking about. It's Dylan Edwards, who's 4-0 at this point, who's going to be fighting a welterweight interim title fight versus Vic McKibben. Vic McKibben has been the champion for Cage of Honor as well as Pride of the Cage. So he's a 2-time welterweight champion from 2 other fight promotions that's going to be stepping in to fight Dylan. It's going to be definitely a tough fight for Dylan. Toughest fight he's ever had.
Right.
Now, when Vic is a coach and a trainer, I think he's got his own gym out in Oklahoma. So we're looking forward to that one.
Yeah. Well, hey, Eric, I appreciate you calling in. Give folks ticket information real quick for your title. It's coming up July, Springfield. So give them the quick ticket info to get their tickets.
AFLCageFights.com. Real simple. Just go online, AFLCageFights.com, and you can get tickets there, and or you can get tickets at the door when you get there, either way.
All right.
Cool.
Well, Eric,
saves you about $5 if you get them online.
Yeah, right. Well, all right, folks. Once again, that's Eric Stevens with Adrenaline Fight League. We're going to be invading Springfield, Missouri one more time here in July. Eric, I appreciate you coming on the show and sounding in on this topic. As always, appreciate you, brother.
Not a problem, man. And just one more time for JT's ears, dude. Stop the drama, man. Knock it off. You're better than that. Just quit. Just stop. It's not necessary. It's unneeded. Just be fair. That's it. Be fair and quit trash-talking other people's fight promotions and quit trying to manipulate fighters and just run your damn fight show on the up and up. Real simple. And your attendance will improve, and it's easier to put your fight cards together, and everything's easier if you just be straight up, you know? And
all
I'll
right.
talk to you guys later.
Hey, appreciate it.
Thanks, Eric.
Yep.
All right. There you go, guys. You heard it, you know, so, you know. Like I say, I agree with Eric. JT just needs to stop the drama, be straight up.
Well, the problem
is
he's not going to because he thinks that he's getting a lot of attention by doing these things. And which, yeah, we may be talking about the guy, but the problem is you can't measure your success by a couple of guys talking about you on a podcast. You measure success by how well you do at the door. You got 70 people who show up. We have 70 people that show up and do security for our events. I mean, we've got 1,300 or 1,400 people showing up at the door for these events, and then he's got 70? What are they doing? I don't understand. But apparently what they're doing is not,
hey,
it's not working. No,
it's not working, whatever. Yeah, like I say, when I have fighters come to me and they say, hey, Greg, you know, we only had 70 people, 80 people. I mean, it's like, really? And he's going around bragging all over the internet how his shows are so big and so popular. If your shows are so big and so popular, you should be having 1,500, 2,000 people, not 70.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. We're going to talk more about this Friday on the show. We are going to have a Friday show this week. I'm not on the road going anywhere for once.
Hey, do you have the archive benefits on your show where if you go past time,
yes,
it keeps recording?
Yes.
I say we do that today.
Okay, we can do that.
Unless you got something to do, brother, but, you know,
there's a couple
other things we got to talk about.
No, the band I work with, we don't have practice till 6, so, you know, we're pretty hot to trot. And so, yeah.
Perfect.
So we're going to go over, even though it's going to click off the air here in about, I forget how long time. I can't
about
keep
2 minutes, isn't it?
About 1.5.
There you go.
Yeah, about 90 seconds we got. Yeah, the little lady just came in my ear and said, 90 seconds.
Uh-oh.
Thank you, darling.
I hate when the little lady comes in my ear.
Yeah, well, I owe her dinner, so she, you know.
Yeah, when you texted me earlier, you're like, I keep trying to call Leanne, and I was like, who in the hell is Leanne?
I hate auto-text. I've gotten to where I try to use the auto-text on my i4S.
Yeah.
I try to get to where I use the auto-text as much as possible, but sometimes she puts words in there that I'm like, wait a minute, I did not say that. I mean, when you try to say duck or truck and she puts in an F-bomb,
yeah.
Like, wait a minute, I did not say that. Hold on.
Man, the first thing I do when I get a new phone is I turn it off. That's the first thing I do is turn that off.
It's crazy. Oh, so anyway, all right. So we've talked about the evil snake raising his head again. And once again, we do want to remind folks, Adrenaline Fight League, July 11th, I believe, is the date. So it's either the 11th or the 12th. I don't have the schedule right here in front of me. But anyways,
hold on, yeah, dude. What am I talking about?
I was going to say, you're going to be up there for it. You might as well have it.
July 12th. It is a Saturday, so we're going to be up there. Call your buddies, call your friends. Get there. We're off the air for right now, but me and Clint's going to stay on here a little bit longer. So talk to you Friday on the Greg Sproul Show.
Boom.
All right. Boom.
That's how we do it.
All right, brother. We are still on the air. Let's talk about us Native Americans getting a little pissy.
Man, what is wrong with you guys? Like, I know that there's somewhere in my family. Wait. There's somewhere in
me.
Like on my mom's side of the family or something like that, we got a little gypsy in us. And I'm kidding. We got a little Indian in us. And or Native American, really. I hate the word Indian when you're describing Native Americans, because they were here first, and they, you know, Columbus really didn't discover anything except for what somebody else was already living on. But you know, I'm on the story, like I'm tracking this thing, and when you go to BleacherReport.com, it tracks this stuff live. Anytime there's ever an update. And so here's the story that's coming out from Bleacher Report. It says, even though the Washington Redskins have grabbed all the headlines in the battle over their nickname, the Cleveland Indians are now facing a legal fight over their nickname and logo as well. According to a report from CBS Cleveland, so this is completely legit. We thought maybe earlier in the day when we talked on the phone, we thought maybe this was a little bit fake, but it's not.
Exactly.
According to a report from CBS Cleveland, a Native American group will file a federal lawsuit against Cleveland's Major League Baseball franchise for the use of its offensive Chief Wahoo logo. Robert Roach, he is a... something Apache. I don't know what that word is. He's some type of Apache and the director of the American Indian Education Center, which if that was legit, he should have put American Native Education Center. They're planning to file a federal lawsuit in late July against the Cleveland Indians organization. Roach, who is also the leader of the group People Not Mascots, says that's a group. He says the lawsuit would challenge that the team's name and Chief Wahoo logo are racist. Many people will point to political incorrectness of the logo, which is essentially a character of Native Americans with a huge smile on its face. In recent years, the Cleveland franchise has been using a Block C logo to diminish the presence of the Chief Wahoo logo. Paul Lucas of Uniwatch.com noted on Twitter in January that the block letter was going to be the primary logo, but the Chief Wahoo would still be present. The United States Patent and Trademark Office recently decided to strip the Washington Redskins of their trademark because they were disparaging to Native Americans and the respective times they were registered at. That should say at the respective times. According to CBS report, the People Not Mascots group hope to apply similar action to Cleveland's MLB franchise. Washington is going to appeal, of course. They succeeded back in 1999. They had a similar ordeal, kind of a ruling here back in 1999, and they succeeded in getting that one overturned. It's a $9 billion lawsuit. Here's my thing. They're trying to get this name taken away, right? We're trying to do away with Chief Wahoo and the Cleveland Indians, and we're trying to name them something else. Why don't you just apply to have that done? Why don't you just file to have that done? Who is getting this $9 billion? And first of all, where did we get this number? Like, how do you just
exactly.
pick up? Are you seriously offended? You're offended to the sum of $9 billion that somebody that's been playing baseball since before you were ever born is using a name like this, and now all of a sudden you need $9 billion? This is the greed that we're talking about. This is a bunch of snakes in the grass. It's horrible. Here, look at what it says. We're going to be asking for $9 billion, and we're basing it on 100 years of disparity, racism, exploitation, and profiteering.
Wow.
I'm so glad I asked that question, and then I was able to answer it on my own. It remains to be seen how the Washington decision will impact what ultimately happens with Cleveland.
So they're wanting to get paid for something that happened to people years and years ago.
It's not even about what happened to people years and years ago. They're suing Cleveland because for 100 years they've been using this name and logo. They're suing them for 100 years of this stuff.
Wow.
I mean, these people weren't even born. How could you be offended before you were ever born? I mean,
exactly.
I just don't get it. I'm fixing to become a fan just because of this.
Well, yeah, and you know, I'm Native American. I'm half Native American, kind of like you. I'm a mutt. But,
right.
But I'm proud of my Native American ancestry. And I'm sorry, people, but the word redskin does not bother me. The Chiefs does not bother me. I consider it a compliment and an honor when a sports team or whoever wants to use a Native American imagery as their mascot. But you got these crybabies, and that's what I'm going to come right out and call you, just a bunch of sniveling crybabies who are so offended that you get called their name, you're going to go cry in a corner and call it racism. My daddy didn't teach me that way. My daddy taught me, hey, if somebody calls you a redskin, you look up and say, yes, sir, I am. Why don't you let me tell you about my heritage? But
right.
Don't go cry in a corner, you know, oh, they called me a name. I'm so hurt. Like, get over it. You know, I've already lost some friends, Native American friends over this pod. They felt differently than I do, and I'm sorry that they feel that way. But it's just how I was brought up.
Yeah, I've seen quite a bit of this stuff, but you know there's a lot of people that are going to have to make a difference here. You've got in baseball, you've got the Syracuse Chiefs, you've got the Spokane Indians, Peoria Chiefs, the Indianapolis Indians, and there's all kinds in Cleveland, the Atlanta Braves, and then of course another team name that they're saying is offensive is the Atlanta Hawks.
Hawks?
Yeah.
It's a bird. They use a bird for a mascot. How can they find that remotely offensive?
I'll tell you, 1946 to 1951, they were the Tri-City Blackhawks. And that's why they cut the black off there and just kept Hawks and started to use a bird, because they were originally named after Native Americans. Golden State Warriors.
Okay.
They're fixing to drop a bomb on Golden State Warriors. Originally the Philadelphia Warriors, then San Francisco. The Warriors no longer use indigenous imagery. You know, they use a picture of the Golden Gate Bridge. And they had to do that because somebody dropped a bomb on them one day. The CFL, Canadian Football League, you got the Edmonton Eskimos. Hockey, we got Chicago Blackhawks. We've got Johnstown Chiefs.
That right there is the one I want to see. Because you know Chicago. You know Chicago is going to – that's a whole city. if there is ever one team or one city that truly gets behind their sports franchise, that's those Chicago Blackhawk fans.
Yeah.
I mean, those people live, eat, and breathe because they know the Bears are sporadic. The Cubs suck. The White Sox, But the one team that Chicago can rely on each and every year to be contending for a title is the Chicago Blackhawks. And I just dare these Native American groups to go after them to change their name. They are going to get laughed off the planet Earth.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they file a $9 billion lawsuit against a team, there's no telling what can happen here. You know, there's Alcorn State University. They're the Braves. Bacone College, right down the road in Muskogee.
Yeah.
They're the Warriors.
Yeah.
There's more of this. Bradley University, they're also the Braves. Central Michigan University is the Chippewas.
The Chippewas.
Are they going to take that away?
Yeah.
You know, Florida State being the Seminoles. You know, I'll tell you the problem. This is the problem I've got with this, is if there was ever one thing. You know, people always say baseball and apple pie, that's as American as it gets. No, it's not. The only thing that we have in this country that we can trace back to the beginning of time, the only thing that really defines America is Native Americans, period.
Oh, exactly. I just recently, last week, I had a chance to meet a group of people, and every year, it may not always be the same people each and every year, but there's always going to be a handful each and every year that participate. It's called Remember the Removal. And what it is, it's a bike riding team, and there's about 15 of them. And so every year they load up their trailers, they load up their bikes, and they go to Cherokee, North Carolina, where the Trail of Tears began. And they spend 3 weeks riding back, riding the Trail of Tears to Tahlequah, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the kind of things, you know, you respect. I mean, those guys mm-hmm. get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get these other people that are out here. I mean, next thing you know, you're going to be boycotting Dallas to change the Cowboys because they find that offensive. The Buffalo Bills because PETA think that name's discouraging or whatever. I mean,
yeah.
When did the madness start or stop? I mean, the madness has already started. These people just need, I mean, you could either make a negative out of it, which these people have chosen to do, or you can make a positive out of it and use it as a learning tool for the future generation. So that's why I was getting back to the comment I made earlier. You can either take the name Redskin as an insult, go pout in the corner and say, oh, they hurt my feelings, let's file a lawsuit. Or you can take it as a positive and say, yes, I am a Redskin. Let me tell you about my heritage. You know, it's all in the eye. It's all in the eye of the beholder. It's whatever you want to make of it. I choose to make positive out of it, but it's really getting embarrassing. I'm getting embarrassed to claim I'm Native American because of all of it.
Yeah.
Because I just find it frivolous and stupid. And
yeah.
You know, that is my opinion. That does not represent anybody else's. That is solely my opinion. If you choose to agree with me, awesome. If you don't choose to agree with me, that's your opinion. And as my mama always says, opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
And they all stink.
All right. Clint, it has been fun. This reminds me of the old days.
Man, it does. Yeah, I know. And I'll tell you, I got to capitalize on something real quick. There's one team out of pro, college, high school, anything. There's only one team that really kind of strikes me as odd. It's the Agawam High School in Massachusetts. Their mascot is the Brownies.
The Brownies.
Now, I don't know where that comes from. There's no explanation on here. But, you know, you're talking about stuff like Cherokees, Chickasaws, Chiefs, Chieftains, Choctaws, Comanches, Indians, Braves, you know, all this other good stuff.
Right.
And then you get into the Brownies. Like,
Brownies.
You know, there's some Mohawks, Mohicans, Mohegans, Red Raiders, Red Men. You know, the Northeastern State University had to change their they're the Chicken Hawks now or something, and they
hell
had to get
yeah.
rid of Redman. You know, my dad...
Don't even get me started on that one.
My dad, when he played football at Kansas State, he went back there in 1970, and then one thing led to another, and the school got hit with some violations or whatever, and my dad and a bunch of the guys, they left the school. Anyway, he came back to Oklahoma and went to Northeastern. Well, he was a Redman. He was on the football team.
Right.
He played football. He was a red man. You know, you got Reds, Redskins. You know, and a lot of people don't understand this, but the Cincinnati Reds, that's Native American. They think
yeah.
it's just named after a color. No, it's named after
no.
a people. You got Renegades, Savages, Seminoles, Sioux, Thunderbirds, Traders. There's tons of them. There's tons of them. And you're not going to extract this from the country. If you can't get rid of, well, I'm not going to get into anything else that's racist, but if you can't get rid of some things, some words that people throw around loosely, if you can't get rid of some of that stuff, you're not going to get rid of this. I don't even know why they'd want to change that. It just doesn't make any sense to me, and I just don't get it. I just don't get it. And also, I'll tell you what, I looked up something pretty cool earlier. There's a rumor I would like to dispel.
Uh-oh.
A lot of people think that the Cleveland Indians have never won a World Series, and that is false. They first won a World Series in 1920, and they won a World Series in 1948. So they've got two World Series titles under their belts. And that's it. Do you know who the manager is for the Cleveland Indians right now?
Oh, no, I'll be honest.
It's Terry Francona from Boston.
Francona? Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I didn't even know. And then he had come down with